The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. We got so much huge news today, Tony. Where should we start?
I'm Tony Kornheiser with the fact that I have already burned through two legal pads. True. This is the second one I'm on today.
Eminem. You and Eminem with the yellow legal pads. You too. Legal pad people in business.
Does he write his songs on it? Is that what he does, writes his songs on it?
Yeah.
It's nice to know.
Yeah. I hate the crap.
Welcome to PTI, boys songs, and girls. But in today's episode, the Suns crush the Lakers, Damian Lillard scores 55 but loses, and the Clippers and Mavs are back on the court for Game 5. But we begin today with a bombshell. Mike Krzyzewski will step down as Duke's basketball coach after this coming season, and he will reportedly be replaced by John Shire, who was on one of Duke's championship teams and has assisted Krzyzewski for 8 years. Jeff Goodman of Stadium was the first to report this story. Krzyzewski, who will be 75 when he leaves the bench, has won 5 national championships. That's more than anyone besides John Wooden. Wilbon, what is your reaction?
Well, Tony, this has been discussed a lot this spring. It was discussed going back to last summer, in the summer, where Mike was talking to people, you know, including former players, about what might happen and questioning them. And you would expect that he's going to be 75 years old soon. I know there were a couple of kids who were being recruited in his native Chicago, and you, the parents were, this is a question that would be out there. Coach, we love you. We want our kid to come to Duke. How long do you think you're going to be there? So you know it's got to come up. So it can't be a shock. The timing of just hearing the words is the shock. And good reporting here by Mr. Goodman. But, Tony, it was time. He's, you know, the Mount Rushmore of college basketball coaches. I'm not sure who my four are because I haven't thought about it that many times, over that many days. But John Wooden and Mike Krzyzewski are on it. And then you can, you know, do whatever you want after that. There are a lot of people who might be in play. But Mike Krzyzewski, I mean, he sort of has defined college basketball and then redefined it and then adjusted to the changes in it and rolled with the punches. And he was great at all levels. He's had great players. He's had great students. He's had people who have impacted the game of college basketball and still do. When you hear Grant Hill's voice calling games, what I see, you know, Chris Collins coaching my alma mater. He's got pups everywhere, and they have enhanced basketball. And if I had one game to play for my life, I've told you this many times, I think it might still be this. Mike Krzyzewski, for my life, would be the guy coaching my team.
So I go back a long way with Mike, a long way to the mid-70s when I was working at the New York Times and I was covering the weekly college basketball luncheons at Mama Leone's. And the big star of those luncheons every single week was Louis Carnesecca, because he was at St. John's then. But sitting around Louis Carnesecca, Mike Krzyzewski was coaching at Army. Jimmy Valvano was coaching at Iona. P.J. Carlissimo, I believe, was at Wagner at that time. This was their first D1 job for all of these guys. And I got to know all of them quite well. And in all the ensuing years, every time I saw Mike or talked to Mike, he'd jab at me. He'd smile. He'd jab at me. I always appreciated the way he did that. Some people, you know, think Mike's not a tough guy. Mike's a tough guy.
Please.
You don't graduate
Please.
From West Point and not
right.
be a
Without
tough guy.
One.
He's a
yeah.
tough guy. But a big heart and very, very protective of his players. And there's no need to rank him. I mean, he's one of the all-time greats, obviously. I have some fear for Shire in this regard.
Ooh.
When you replace a legend, it's very hard. Phil Bengston, I believe, replaced Vince Lombardi. Didn't work out. Gary Cunningham replaced John Wooden. Craig Escherich replaced John Thompson. Bill Guthridge replaced Dean Smith. The place that it worked out best, I think, Mike, was Kentucky over the years. Joe B. Hall won a championship after Adolph Rupp left. And then Patino and Tubby and Calipari, they won. But most of the time, it's very difficult.
Guy. You got to be one removed. People should have had trepidation.
At least one removed. And the other thing I wonder about now, Mike, and I'm sure you do as well, Jim Boeheim. Like, he's even older than Mike.
Same age,
like,
right?
When does Jim I think he's older. When does he leave Syracuse? When does that come around? And certainly we would think he has the right to name that by himself, right? He's got that right.
I don't know about that.
We have another basketball bombshell. One more bombshell. The news that Danny Ainge has retired as president and general manager of the Boston Celtics after 18 seasons and one NBA championship. Ainge will be succeeded in the front office by Brad Stevens, whose first order of business will be to find a coach to replace him. This is a rough year for the Celtics, who were eliminated from the playoffs in the first round last night by Brooklyn after reaching the conference finals three times in the last 4 years. Wilbon, what do you make of this upheaval?
Tony, this was more shocking to me. I mean, Danny Ainge and I are the same age. I mean, Danny Ainge can say, we got something else in common we don't want to have in common, which is having had a heart attack at, somewhat young age. I was younger than Danny. And I have followed Danny's career, his whole career, going back to BYU. And Tony, he's a basketball lifer and a wildly successful one. And I know he wanted that second title at least. You know, he got the first one in 2008 with that big three. And now you come back with this and you had, I mean, I thought his draft picks were the right ones, the high draft picks in every case with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and then trading and getting essentially Kyrie Irving. These are mega all-stars who could very well wind up one day as Hall of Famers. And Danny Ainge brought them in and he did the right thing in building that team. But they didn't get over the hump. They didn't win it. And I wonder how much, if there is any disappointment for Danny Ainge after that 2008 championship, what does he feel really about this tenure? And who does that fall at the feet of? I mean, is the players, the coach, him, a combination of all those? But Danny Ainge, you have to term his tenure in Boston as very, very, very successful after he played on great Celtics teams, which won championships. So, but I'm surprised. Danny Ainge, he's not so old that he doesn't want to go to battle every week, and I'm a little surprised by it.
So, like you, I was surprised. My first reaction was, wow. Like, I don't have that reaction with Mike Krzyzewski.
No,
because you know
time.
There's a clock ticking.
It's time.
You know, you understand that. That's going to happen. But I said wow on Danny Ainge. I'm gonna go a little bit further than what you said about Danny Ainge, winning championships as a player and winning a championship as an executive. His career is not on the line with Jerry West, but it's the next line down, the length and breadth of his career, the success of his career. He's with the Celtics for 18 seasons as the GM, 15 playoffs, 7 conference finals. This isn't like some guy at Orlando or Minnesota or Sacramento.
No.
The surprise to me in this is Brad Stevens going to the front office. I think of him as a coach. And what I wonder about is, does he have any conceivable regret not taking the Indiana job when it was out there a few months ago? I'm a little surprised that he's going to be the new GM.
Well, Tony, hasn't there been a hint about him being burned out? Now, I don't know if that word was directly,
I guess,
that phrase comes from him, coaching, meaning. But it doesn't mean he's ready to get a basketball. Brad Stevens is a young man who has also had this success with this, you know, rendition of the Celtics. Tony, these kinds of stories, while they may be new to us, these kinds of discussions have to take place. So when Brad Stevens said no to the Hoosiers, there had to be some inkling about how he felt about coaching pro basketball. Coaching, period. If he's burned out on any level, he would have said, no, I got other options coming. And God knows Brad Stevens would have more options if he had said no to this. So this is not new. It's new to us. There's no way this wasn't discussed as far back as Christmas or even beyond in those offices.
You're probably right about that. The Celtics job is a good job. They've had two coaches in the last 16 years. They've had Doc Rivers and they've had Brad Stevens. There was great stability there, obviously, with Danny Ainge. I mean, there's talent there. But the Kyrie Irving fiasco, I think it showed up this year when they were the most disappointing team in basketball. Because no matter what you want to say about Kemba Walker, if you love him, he's not Kyrie Irving. The Kyrie Irving leaving hurt. That hurt.
It did on a couple of fronts and a couple of seasons. Let's move to actual basketball action from last night, specifically the Western Conference, where the Suns blew out the Lakers. Anthony Davis watched in street clothes as the Suns went on a 16-0 run in the first and led by 30 at the half, 36 at one point. But it wasn't all sunny for the Suns as Chris Paul re-aggravated his shoulder injury in the third quarter in a collision with Wes Matthews. Tone, where does last night's loss leave LeBron? We'll start there. And the Lakers.
Yeah. I'll just say, first of all, street clothes, that has a resonance. I think I've heard that somewhere. Where does it leave LeBron and the Lakers? It leaves them in a place that I can't say on this show, but it ends with without a paddle. Okay? They're in a world of hurt. That was not a must game because it's only 3-2, but the next game is a must game. And if there's a game after that, that is a must game as well. And as I said to you yesterday, I have ultimate faith in LeBron, but I don't have faith in the rest of the Lakers. And they proved that last night. Now, I don't know how much this hurts. It doesn't matter how terrible the game was, because the next game will start at 0-0. And you can forget about this. But we both thought Phoenix was going to win last night.
We did, Tony. And 4 minutes into that game, I was sneaking out to watch the other game. I was sneaking out to watch Dame Lillard versus Denver, because I'm like, okay, the one that I'm attending, the one that I'm sitting at, this ain't going to be competitive for long. Tony, Anthony Davis has to be on the court, and he doesn't have to just be there. He has to be Anthony Davis of last year. Right. He has to be Anthony Davis. I don't believe necessarily he's a top five player. I don't believe that. But there are times when he is. He's got to be that guy for this at some point. And it better start in game six. But, Tony, you know how LeBron is. LeBron not going out like this, Tony. He's not. He's just not. He's still LeBron. I'm not saying that the Lakers are going to win game six. I'm saying LeBron is not going out on last night as a note. So there's going to be a dogfight. Last night, I told you yesterday when we left the show, I said the Suns are ready for a dogfight. Well, the Lakers weren't. They didn't put up a fight. And there are ex-Lakers, Tony, who are making it known to people and people in this business that they are embarrassed at what the Lakers did last night.
Like James
you think
Worthy.
That's going to happen
like
in Game 6 tomorrow? It's not more than
Here's
James Worthy, because I'm in the arena. It's more than Worthy.
LeBron.
But I'm just, go ahead.
There is history possibly being made here. LeBron is 14-0 in the first rounds of playoffs. Never been out in the first round before. You know, you don't want to bury him yet because he's never been out. But certainly
I'm not ready to bury him yet, Tony. This series could have a long way to go. Still.
Let's take a break. Coming up, Joel Embiid has a meniscus tear. What does that do to the Sixers? Doesn't help him.
Yeah, not in the long run. Damian Lillard, as previously mentioned, put up a double nickel in a loss last night. What's the word for that?
Big day. Big day on this show. Lots of stuff to talk about.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Got a nice drip going with my new doctor's coat, freshly ironed. Let's see if it inspires my word game. What's first?
Joel Embiid's knee sounds blank.
Sounds bad. He's got a torn meniscus. They're saying it's a small tear. I don't care how small it is. It's torn. You know, it can't be easy to play under those conditions when you've got a torn meniscus. If you get out there and you want to work through it, and he's a guy who's lost a lot of time this year, that they can't win without him. They're 10-11, the Sixers, when he doesn't play. How do you go out and guard either Antetokounmpo or Durant if you have a torn meniscus. This sort of feels, Mike, like it disqualifies them from the championship because they can beat the Wizards, but how do you win three more rounds if your best player is out? Ben Simmons is a wonderful player. He can't carry the team without Embiid.
No, Tony, and so I'm going to go worse than bad. It sounds curtains, like Finney. And I hate this. Every day I talk about, I divert, and I talk about how the NBA playoffs are being ruined by these injuries. At one point, Joel Embiid, if you look at that five-person voting block you have, if you're a voter, he was one. He was above Jokic at one point, and then he went out, right? And they can't win without him. And it's not just Philly. No one in this league can win its best player. No one. Looks like, and he's going to try to play. He's not playing tonight against the Wizards, Tony, but he's thinking about it. They're calling him day to day. I don't see how that can happen.
Next.
Damian Lillard's performance last night was blank.
It was not enough, and it was a great performance. He had 55 points in 52 minutes. One turnover in 52 minutes with the ball in his hand. He shot 17 of 24 from the field. He set a playoff record with 12 threes, but his team lost the game, and that was the game that before the game, Lillard said, this is the game. For all that he did, they did not win this game. And Mike, we worked at newspapers. We know what it's like to write a headline. The headline for this game would be, despite Lillard's 55, Denver wins in double overtime. And the first thing Lillard said after the game, if I've got this right, was we lost. Rest of it doesn't matter.
Yeah, Tony, it was still all time because performances do matter. Because Jerry West was once awarded the MVP of a final series when he lost. Michael Jordan's launching game in the NBA was 62 or 63 points, I forget now, in overtime in the Boston Garden against Larry Bird and Robert Parrish.
And they lost.
When Bird said, you know, this was God disguised as Michael Jordan. So these performances do matter over time. And Lillard's is amazing. Do they have enough? It doesn't look like it, Tony, although I wouldn't put it past Lillard to do this again in Game 6. But he needed some help. He didn't get it enough last night. It's still, to send those games into overtime and double OT, all time is what it is.
That's it. Let's take one last break still to come. What happens to Derby winner Medina Spirit now that the second test has come back positive? DQ.
The news just keeps on rolling. The Clippers won both games in Dallas, so what should we expect from them back home tonight in Game 5 in Los Angeles?
We should expect them to win. They should win this game.
Yeah,
going to
they Dallas. Should.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Happy time, people. Happy 70th birthday, Larry Robinson, the Hall of Fame defenseman for the Montreal Canadiens. Robinson played 20 seasons, 17 for Montreal and 3 for the Los Angeles Kings. He won 6 Stanley Cups as a player. In 1978, Robinson won the Conn Smythe Trophy as the best player in the entire Stanley Cup playoffs. He was a 6-time All-Star and a 2-time winner of the Norris Trophy as the league's best defender. After retiring as a player, Robinson turned to coaching. He won 4 Stanley Cups as a coach, including one as interim head coach of the New Jersey Devils after Lou Lamoriello, of course, fired Robbie Fatorik with 8 games to go in the 2000 regular season.
Tony, it seems like Robinson and Patrick Roy, they're the last truly great Canadiens players. necessarily with that franchise. You have to win cups, plural. I know there have been all-stars and terrific players, a guy like P.K. Subban to pick one, but those guys, it just seemed like every spring, last man standing, it was Montreal, and those seemed like the last two. It's been a little while.
Not so happy anniversary, Armando Galarraga. On this day 11 years ago, the Tigers pitcher lost his bid for a perfect game with two outs in the ninth inning on an incorrect call by first base umpire Jim Joyce. Joyce quickly admitted to blowing the call, and Galarraga famously forgave him, adding without irony, nobody's perfect. Joyce told a room of reporters, quote, "I had a great angle on it. I just missed the damn call. This is a history call, and I kicked the bleep out of it," unquote. Recalling what happened afterwards, Joyce would later say, quote, "I basically broke down. I told the press exactly how I felt. Then when they leave, I can finally come back out into the locker room. And the last person who comes through that door is Armando Galarraga. He doesn't say a word. He just comes over and hugs me."
Tony, for people who have spent approaching 100 years together telling stories, it's a better story this way as it played out, except for Galarraga. But now they would simply, what you should be able to do is have somebody, without going over to the dugout, just be on the phone, eye in the sky, just immediately radio down and say, "He's out, leave the field, perfect game." And it didn't happen that way. And it's a hell of a story now, because that hug, there's a movie in there somewhere, Tone, isn't there?
There is indeed. A melancholy trails to Mike Marshall, one of the greatest relief pitchers of all time, who holds the record for relief appearances in one season in both leagues, for Minnesota in the American League, for the Dodgers in the National League. He died at 78. If you grew up in the era of the closer, your idea of a relief pitcher is a guy who comes into the game in the ninth inning, pitches that inning, and goes home. He does this maybe two or three times a week. In the era before the closer, Mike Marshall pitched multiple innings multiple times a week. In 1974, Marshall won the Cy Young because he pitched 208 innings as a reliever. He pitched in 106 games for the Dodgers that year. He finished 83 of them. At one point, Marshall pitched in 13 consecutive games. No reliever will ever approach these numbers again. Marshall pitched for 9 teams over 15 seasons. And of course, they called him Iron Mike because he went out there basically every day.
Yeah, and now there would be some analytics-obsessed GM calling down to the dugout to tell the manager to get him out because he gave up 2 bloop singles to right. And this is one of the major things wrong with baseball. Quick side note, I grew my sideburns like that right to the mustache when I was in college because of Mike Marshall. Style note, Tony,
great,
that you can use.
Quick to the big finish. Quick.
Let's do it.
Mavs and Clippers in Game 5 tonight. What do you expect?
If Doncic still has nerve damage, either way, I expect the Clippers to win, to keep going and close the series out at another game. Medina Spirit's positive drug test confirmed his Derby win could be vacated. Your thoughts?
It'll be taken away and Mandaloon will be declared the winner. Bob Baffert has been suspended from Churchill Downs. Fernando Tatis Jr. left last night's loss to the Cubs with tightness in his right oblique. Cause for concern?
Precautionary, but everybody leaves with tightness. Steven Strasburg left last night's start after 30 pitches with tightness in his right trap. Is that significant?
Stop, please. IL. Always IL. Last one. Will the Hawks eliminate the Knicks at the Garden tonight?
I don't know about tonight at the Garden. The Knicks might have one more in them, but the Hawks are going to win that series.
Out of time. Try and do better the next time, and I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. And now, Tony, here's SportsCenter.
Bruce Levinson, send me that hot shot toaster you got, you know?